Hello and welcome
is
to
Matthew.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm sorry.
Hurry up and start recording. I may have a surprise.
Can I start now?
Ooh.
Yes.
Right.
Services in association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 169. I'm Adam, and with me this week is Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
It's the Doctor. He was the Doctor who took care of Van Gogh when he started to go mad.
Matthew Kressel. Where is he? Matthew? Oh, he's gone. Okay. Mary Glad.
No, he's gone.
Mary! Who? Yeah, you.
Who? Okay. That's the trouble with impressionists. Not accurate enough.
Rhys Parton.
Is this how time normally passes?
Don't sound too enthusiastic.
Really slowly and in the right order.
Yeah, I thought you might pick that one up.
Not here, not at this convention. It's gone by very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Haynes.
Out on a summer day, with eyes that know the darkness in my soul.
He's drunk, he's mad, and he never pays his bills.
Anyway, continuing. Hello and welcome to the show. Now, this week we have a sort of live link with Con Casterbarus, where Kirby is with...
Con Casterbarus.
That's what I just said.
Hang on a second, Adam.
Yes.
Adam.
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Adam.
I have a special guest to put on.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Blackwood, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello, Caitlin.
Woo! Very nice.
We have her here live, only for a few seconds, right?
But, better than having her dead.
Oh, good grief, Robert.
Oh, my. Nobody
and
said
she
that
just,
one.
She just stepped away, but there you go.
Okay, and that's the end of the show this week. Thank you, everybody, and goodbye.
And Matthew, do you have a quote this week?
No, I don't, actually. I'll have one later, but I'm sure.
I don't remember that one.
I don't have to say, how on earth did you manage that, as we've been sat here for about 10 minutes? Did you sort of have her on standby for 10 minutes, or was that just luck?
Part of it is having your substitute host on the convention staff.
Substitute host. Yes, and?
It happened that she was coming around the corner for her autograph and photograph
and
session.
I know, I can see. I've got the picture on my mind. You stuck your leg out, she tripped over, and you lifted her up, brought her over. Wow,
I very kindly walked up to her and her mom and asked her if she would mind doing it, and she agreed and followed me over here and quickly recorded it for you.
Well, that was very nice of her.
And it was very nice of you as well. Thank you, Matthew.
I feel
a bit humble now. Say thank you, Rhys.
Thank you, Rhys. Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Well, if you'll excuse me for a few minutes, I'm going to go finish my Chinese for lunch.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry to keep
you. Ooh, I hope that's not painful.
5 in the morning?
I hope she's worth it. Honestly. Anyway, this week on the 20 Megabyte podcast, we really are starting to go downhill rapidly from being at a nice little height of celebrity guestness. Moving on to Vincent and the Doctor, we had a celebrity. You weren't listening, were you? We had a celebrity guest. Matthew Kressel was on the show just a minute ago.
Yeah, but I just was questioning the word guestness.
I made that word up. I am allowed to make words up. In fact, it is not a crime to make words up. And it does.
Adam.
It also explains Freudian.
Adam.
I got interrupted then.
Adam.
Yes?
Adam.
A neologism. A neologism.
I prefer the word I made.
Making a new word. Hmm. Now that's a neologism.
No, but
a made up word.
Yeah, but I prefer the word I made. I've already forgotten what it was, but I still prefer it. Anyway, right.
Sounds good, though.
You want to say hi on the podcast? We're recording a podcast.
I do want to say hi on the podcast. Thank you. Hi.
Here, introduce yourself.
Hi.
Uh-oh, somebody got shy.
Is there a camera on? No. Okay,
it's a gun around? What?
A camera, he said.
Gotcha. Hello, everyone. We are Tryon Abbott from... Inspector Space Time.
Cool.
And we brought our own Lorgons. So
we built them out of trash cans and salad bowls, and it's from the show Community. Community has a spinoff of Doctor Who parody called Inspector Spacetime in it.
Excellent. And
they had a very cheap ripoff in there, very low budget, and we did the yes. same. We spent maybe 2 hours quite intoxicated while we were building $80 worth of Lorgons.
Completely in the spirit of Doctor Who. That's what I like to hear.
I posted a picture of them on the Facebook page a little bit earlier today.
Ooh,
we actually we built them at the same place that the Dalek, Wayne Neumeier's here, and he has an actual full-up Dalek that he built. He spent maybe 9 months an exorbitant amount of money building a very realistic Dalek, and we built that at the Maker's Local 256. It's a hackerspace, makerspace in Huntsville, Alabama. And he spent 9 months. We spent 2 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, I see them. I see them on Facebook. Nice.
Awesome. Yeah.
And for this, we give them a upgraded electrical system, which is to say, Christmas lights.
Yeah, it's the Christmas edition and the winter edition.
Winter edition.
Yeah. Do you have it there with you? Because it'd be quite interesting to see a picture of this.
Yes.
What was all gone quiet?
Yeah, no, they are stepping away now. Like I said, I'm in the hall.
That's fine, yes, but are we going to get to see a picture of what they were describing?
Yes, cool. It's on the Facebook page.
The picture's on the Facebook page, Adam.
What, that bowl next of sweets? Oh, jelly babies. I can see a bowl of jelly babies.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on, what's this one here?
Scroll up or down.
That's rather...
They're next to a Dalek.
I can see that now. Thank you. It's rather splendid.
Kirby, I hope you're getting all these people's names so that Adam could put them in the show notes.
I am not going to be putting them in the show notes because I am not that... unless you actually send them an email with the credits, I might bung them in the show notes that way. Otherwise, because I've got hours of editing to do, etc. I've got Reese on the show. Whenever Reese is on the show, we have to edit.
That's a good-looking Dalek.
Oi.
Anyway, right, yes. I was trying to move on to Vincent and the Doctor.
There's a wheat field.
Is there?
And Vincent's painting, yes.
That's unusual.
Vincent's painting.
Oh, yeah, go on, yeah. So go on, Robert, yeah.
Then we look at that painting that he's painting in the modern day with Bill Nye as Dr. Black introducing the painting. And behind his talking, Doctor and Amy arrive, with the Doctor being nice to Amy. Obviously, he's feeling guilty about the death of Rory.
Rory, what is that? Though, Rory, the new Doctor, Rory, or Rory Williams?
No.
Not Rory Kinnear.
I don't think. No, has he been announced? Has he?
No, but I'm just being clever.
No, there's been no announcement yet.
No, what do you reckon?
Rory,
it's got to be Rory.
Rory, come again. Rory Kinnear, haven't we forgotten about whoever this Rory is?
Rory Williams.
Don't be like that. That's not very nice.
Anyway, carry on.
God, Rory. Hey, and the Doctor and Amy, they notice the picture of that church, which is what's it called?
Church
at. Orvers. Church at Orvers.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
Or Orvers, whatever, how you ever say
it. Yeah, I won't attempt to pronounce any French.
Yeah, this is what we call him trying to get points later on in the quiz.
That's
taking
right.
note of the name of the church.
Oh, no, I'm
going. I'm going to lose the quiz this week because I haven't... I saw this a couple of nights ago, and I've been busy at the convention.
I saw it a couple of nights ago, and all I've done is written quiz questions on it. So you've got a good chance. Carry on.
Do you want me to continue then?
Yes, please, Robert. Sure, yes, that's okay. What carry on generally means, but carry on.
So the Doctor and Amy, they notice this picture with the face of this creature in the window. So, and that leads into the title. So obviously that's a mystery for them to investigate. Before that, the Doctor goes over to Dr. Black. He says, excuse me, if I can just interrupt for 1 second. Sorry, everyone. Routine inspection. Ministry of Art and Artiness. So,
yes. Robert's been making notes. I think the quiz winner has been discovered before you've even done it. Carry on.
Uh-huh.
So he wants to know the date so he can sort out this mystery between what's happening. So he says, we need to talk to Vincent van Gogh. And then there's the titles. And the TARDIS lands. Do you still want me to continue, Adam?
Yeah, as long as the synopsis doesn't take longer than the episode itself, please continue.
Yeah, it sounds like you're narrating the story going along.
You're not going to do the dialogue.
This isn't
going to
be a commentary, please.
Can it be a summary, a quick summary?
Well, not that quick. But
Adam's probably better at those.
No, he's not. I have a summary. The Doctor meets Vincent. They have an attack by a giant invisible
chicken?
Space turkey.
Oh,
the end.
Space turkey? I like that description.
And in the meantime, the Doctor feels badly for Vincent because he's so depressed, and he tries to bring happy and good things into his life to celebrate.
But if you say things like that, Mary, what Robert will do is, sorry.
You've skipped a part.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, because when they're looking at the local cafe and he says, he'll probably be in the local cafe, sort of orangey light chairs and tables outside. Hmm. And obviously that's the picture, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's what's so fun about this episode, is how they recreate the scenes that Van Gogh painted. I love the way they did that.
Even
very clever.
Like his bedroom as well. You know, when he's snoring in bed, and then it's just that picture, you know, of his bedroom. And I thought, you know, it's done so well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good. It's a pretty episode, this one. But essentially, it is they go to an art gallery, look at some Van Gogh paintings, see something odd in one, go back in time to see what goes on, meet Vincent Van Gogh. I'm saying Van Gogh because that's what Bill Nye said. Yeah,
I know.
Have some fun with Vincent Van Gogh. Vincent Van Gogh fancies Amy. Amy sort of fancies him back a little bit.
Have a dozen kids.
Pardon?
And they want to have a dozen kids.
Yeah, something like that. But she goes.
Eee!
But of course, towards the end,
I love how they did the cafe. It looks so much like the real painting.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they get into that in the confidential cutdown, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and the false confidential, if you were lucky enough to see that, had the same thing.
I did back in the day, but I can't find my confidentials for this series.
Anyway, and of course, there's later on in the episode, Vincent alludes to the fact that Amy has had a loss and she's crying and she doesn't know why.
I thought that was done well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I suppose I put that in there because just to hint that Rory wasn't actually out of the series yet.
Yeah.
But, I mean, basically that's what it is. That Vincent's got bipolar. They befriend him. They follow him around. There's an invisible monster, which they don't believe is there until it throws the Doctor across the garden. The garden itself looked wonderful, all the sunflowers and that. Then, of course, the Doctor finds a gadget that was he never knew he would find a
gadget,
use
gadget.
For.
Gadget.
Is able to see a reflection.
Plus, I love seeing the first two Doctors with that too.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, indeed.
Well, what I find interesting is it's supposed to be an alien detection device.
Yeah.
But if it's identifying the Doctor as an alien, what is the device's home? Because
he got it from a friend who's very smelly.
Smelly godmother.
Yeah, godmother.
Which one you might assume would have been on Gallifrey, so then he would not be alien to Gallifrey.
Good.
Who's the pedant around here?
I was just thinking that myself.
It's me. I just, when I saw that, I thought, well, if it's to detect
Mary,
aliens, why is
Mary,
it detecting?
I'll give you an example.
Mary.
Someone from Greece. In Australia, would be called an alien, wouldn't they?
Well, yes. we never see a human identified as an alien.
What Mary is alluding to, Robert, is the machine was from Gallifrey. Therefore, everybody on Gallifrey wouldn't be an alien.
But they...
Thank you, Adam.
You don't know where this godmother with two heads is from.
Precisely.
Okay. Never mind. So he gets this machine and he goes...
Lots of ways you can get it.
Beg your pardon?
Lots of ways you can get her.
I agree. I'm quite pleased they put it in there because I enjoyed the pictures of the first two Doctors.
Yeah.
Essentially...
I'm quite happy with how they got around the whole TARDIS translation thing. You said that accent of yours, you're from Holland as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was really good. But essentially they're chasing this turkey around, but only Vincent can see it as it is rather than everybody else sees it as nothing. It's just a sort of...
You know, when I was watching it the other night, it was the first time I really noticed there's the one scene when they're being bashed around the yard at night. I somehow missed the fact that you could see it briefly, its tail, just before it.
Anyway, I'm amazed how much we saw of this Grafaeus. Actually, when I first watched it, I didn't think there was much at all. But when you rewatch it, you realize that there is quite a fair bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my reaction too. It's like, whoa, I don't remember seeing the whole creature before.
Mm. Yeah.
So basically, they.
I like that.
Oh, sorry.
I just loved how they did that scene where the doctor wasn't able to see it, but Vincent was, and he was holding it back, and it knocked something over in the background, whereas you could see him in the foreground, and I thought they did that very well.
I think they did a whole lot of it very well. It's always very difficult, you know, recreating something that obviously isn't there until they put the CGI on afterwards, but they did did a really good job with it. It wasn't the most...
No, they did the CGI first.
Did they?
No.
Oh, amazing. How did I know that, Kirby?
Yeah, the actors could see it.
Wow.
You know that.
Wow. Yeah, the actors could see it. But yeah, it's good stuff.
They can do previews anyway.
So basically, all it is they're generating this relationship with Vincent, and it's a bit of joy, really, because obviously Richard Curtis is a big fan of Vincent van Gogh.
Are you all right?
Knows quite a lot about him.
Heimlich maneuver, quickly, Robert, Heimlich maneuver.
See, now in the States, we get around that. We don't even pronounce that. We just say Vincent van Gogh.
Yeah, because that's
completely
wrong.
I used to say that until I saw this episode.
I still say that. Van Gogh, even though
it wasn't until this
episode
that I even heard that other pronunciation.
Anywho, what did I get up to? Yeah, so I've lost my thread completely. I'm in the garden with. Oh no, they've gone past that. He's got the gadget. He's following it, and then they lose it. But they get a word that it's turned up in a church. The doctor tells Vincent and Amy to stay behind.
I know.
They don't
get word that it's in the church.
Yes, they do.
It's the doctor's mentioning because they saw it in the church.
I know, but I've decided that they get word just because I made a mistake and I can edit what you said out so I can leave my bit in that they got word that it was in the church.
What happened was the doctor said, if you start painting the church, he will come.
Yeah, there you go. That's
he says, so Vincent, painted any churches recently, any churchy plans,
that's
any
I mean.
Churches,
okay,
chapels, religious stuff like that, something you'd like to get into, you know, fairly soon.
I just didn't come out that way. That's exactly what I meant, though. So they go to the church, and the doctor tells Amy and Vincent to stay behind, and of course they don't, because it's fun that they, you know what I mean, it's... They never do they? Whenever they have actually done what the doctor says, he knows full well if he tells somebody to stay behind, they're not going to do that. Anyway, so they follow in, they have a bit of fun with this this sort of Grafaeus thing, and it dies, very sadly.
Aww.
And then Minson realises that...
Wasn't as sad as E.T.
That the creature was very afraid, and it makes him upset.
No, Elliot was last week.
Sorry.
But the fact that Vincent, you know, is sad about the creature brings him back into a depression, or maybe not. But there's some lovely bits. Now I do love the bit. Thank you. I do love the bit where they're lying on with their backs, looking up at the sky, and use his imagination to paint the stars.
Yeah,
fantastic stuff. So I mean, and obviously this is a very simple story. But it is, it's just wonderful. Now, the only thing that there's been a bit of contention over is the Athlete music, Changes by Athlete, that was played over the bit where Vincent's looking at his own artwork in the art gallery.
Chances.
I don't know why.
Yeah, sorry, Chances. But see, I just put that in to see if anybody noticed.
I took these notes. Adam, I wrote 6 pages of notes. Yeah. So I need to do well in
How
this
many
quiz.
Hours did it take you to watch
Robert,
it?
Robert, can you...
I'm precise.
Robert, 6 pages.
Robert. Robert,
it took me about 90
Robert,
minutes
Robert,
to ride.
Robert,
Robert, yes. 1 1/4.
Can you promise me that when it comes to this week's edition of You Won't Get This One, that you'll put your notes to one side?
I can't do that.
Did you hear everybody?
He wrote it on his arm.
Yes.
They're next to the check marks.
Well, the next step, Robert, is you're going to write a target novelization of this story.
Right then. I mean, see, I really love this story. I really do. It's wonderful. Mm. It's certainly one I can watch over and over again. It's a pretty good standalone story, actually, as well. Amy's not too annoying. The Doctor's fantastic. And the actor that plays Vincent Van... For me, even though he's Scottish, he's very believable as Vincent Van... It's just we didn't get enough of Bill Nye. He, you know. So what do you think, Mary?
I love the way you keep saying his name.
What's his name? Vincent Van...
What's wrong? His name's Vincent Van...
I mean, and just a sidelight about his name, I'm curious to know why it is pronounced Van Gogh. Because
he's Dutch.
But you never pronounce the GH in anything else.
You do.
I mean, we don't say night. We don't say nacht.
Honestly,
we don't say boch.
Yeah, but if you're
we don't
Dutch,
say
you do. You do in Germanic languages.
Yes. He's Dutch. And that's,
but he's Dutch. He's not Germanic.
Yes, but that's Dutch how they pronounce
it. Related to.
They're really weird with their languages in Holland. I'm afraid that's why most of them speak English, because their language is too weird. Hello, Dutch listeners. Oh, they just switched off.
Do we have Dutch listeners?
We did until that moment.
If we have Dutch listeners, does that mean that they'll pay?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mary, you didn't tell me what you thought of this episode.
Since you asked, I think I'm probably outside the mainstream in that this is not an episode that I wanted to see again or would probably ever watch again. I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful to look at. And it's very well acted. I think the actor that plays Vincent Van Gogh, I think
Mary,
he does an amazing job
of
playing, you know, depressed, playing, you know, up and happy and all that. But I have to say that the Doctor's comment is exactly how I feel about, is this how, you know, time really passes very slowly and everything in the right order? Because I find myself being distracted all the time through it. It's not one of my favorites, even though I know everybody else loves it.
Yes, it's brilliant, Mary.
Yes.
You can't help being wrong. That's fine. You've been talking to your input.
Okay, I'm wrong.
Reese?
I loved it. You forgot to mention some of my favourite scenes.
Well, go on then. You can mention your favourite. Hang on. Let me introduce your favourite scenes. Everybody, this is Reese's favourite scenes.
Ta-da!
This is Reese's Pieces. obviously, the most standout ones are probably the one where he's on the bed after the Doctor said that they'll be out of his hair the next day, and he realises that all the fun he's having will be over, and that sends him into a phase of depression, and that was very touching and actually quite scary when he was just yelling at the Doctor and there's no hope of consoling him, it seemed. He was just completely gone into that dark pit that depression takes people. And then the next one was basically the final act when they take Vincent to the future or current day or whenever it was that they took him to the Musée d'Orsay. And Tony Curran just made me cry in that. Every time I watch it, it's just very sweet, and Professor Black's words are just, they get right in my heart as well as his heart, and it's just very, very sweet. And Bill Nye delivered them wonderfully.
Yeah.
Cool. And Kirby, what do you think?
I'm sort of along with Mary in that it's not one of my favorites.
See, the Americans don't like it.
These Americans, there's something wrong with them.
Matthew will tell his opinion here in a second, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. I like it.
Did you finish the Chinese?
But we can ask him in a second.
I want to know what he had.
I like the episode, but it's just, I think I'm turned off by the invisible turkey.
Yeah, that too. Thank you.
It's a beautiful episode, and yes, I do like the end, but I also don't like the end because I don't like the Doctor taking someone out of time that way, almost changing the timeline.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, I forgot about the invisible turkey. Is that I just didn't know why they had to do that. You know, just make it a pretty beautiful, well-acted episode, but leave the invisible turkey out.
I think I quite understand why they did the invisible turkey. One, for monetary constraints, and two, because they wanted something that made Vincent seem like he was mad because he was the only one who could see this thing. So it made sense to me.
Well, not just that, but given that Doctor Who is a science fiction series, and we've stepped away. Well, hello. And the show has stepped away from doing the pure historicals for many years. That I think there was almost somebody may have felt a need to put a science fiction element into the story.
Yeah, but what did you think
and
of the story?
Without the monster, Matthew? The Doctor and Amy wouldn't have gone back in time, so we needed the monster in the first place.
Exactly. You need a hook, as the saying
goes.
No,
he was already taking Amy to various places. I mean, there's no reason why he couldn't just take her there.
Yes, there was a reason. He didn't know to go there to that specific date.
No, he said, because Amy says, oh, you know, why are you being so nice? Why are you taking me to Arcadia and the Trojan Gardens? He can just take her there.
I know when she says that, but there's no saying when exactly they'd have gone there in that case.
He has a time machine. He didn't have to interrupt his visit to the museum so quickly just to get back there.
Fair enough. But Matthew, what did you think of the story?
I know what you mean.
I'm actually quite fond of it, minus the invisible turkey, as I believe you put it.
yeah, that's how we put it.
Well, most of the story is minus the invisible turkey because it's invisible.
Yeah. Mm. Well, just it's not exactly the coolest plot thing ever done in Doctor Who. But other than that, I think to reiterate what I've heard's been said, it is an absolutely beautiful episode. And if you take the invisible turkey out of it, it's an absolutely beautiful character drama looking at one of the greatest geniuses of all time and how he dealt with his own issues. It very much humanizes Van Gogh in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Got to pronounce it right.
maybe I should have been doing this a minute ago when I was choking on some chicken.
actually, Matthew, I was quite interested to hear what Chinese you had.
I had honey chicken, bourbon chicken, potatoes, and noodles.
I can guarantee the only one that we have at our local Chinese takeaway is the noodles. Because my favourite is chicken fried rice and sweet and sour chicken.
No giant rat?
Actually, Cantonese style sweet and sour chicken is particularly... What do you mean, no rat?
No Wang Chiang there, Adam?
I was saying
rat.
I thought
we thought you English, regularly feasted on that because you have so many of them.
You were implying that the Chinese chefs on the Isle of Wight cooked rat. Anyway. So, anybody else not given their opinions on this story?
Robert, me. I think.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Robert. What do you think?
Yeah, I loved it. I think it's a wonderful episode. And I love the way it deals with a serious issue. And you can tell that Richard Curtis is really bringing his love of somebody who wasn't celebrated in their time.
Yeah.
But is now widely regarded, and sort of bringing that to the fore. You can just tell it's really a love letter to Vincent van Gogh.
The thing is, as I say, I did like the story. Call me a Philistine, I'm sure you will. But when I was looking at these paintings, which I do think, which are lovely paintings, I can't say they're not, but I couldn't really say he's the best artist ever. Alistair Pearson, however... in my opinion, is... Oh, no, that's probably gone a bit too far, but he's certainly a better artist than Vincent van... Because his art looks exactly like a photo. I think that's the ability to...
Adam,
I know it's...
They're two different styles.
I know there is, but I prefer something that looks like what it's supposed to look like myself, personally.
Yeah, but one thing that, that the Dr. Black character was saying was that... He brought the something bad. He made something good out of it. Because, as he says, it's easy to express pain in a picture. And even when I attended a pain clinic, somebody had taken lots of photos of lightning because that was how they viewed their pain. Whereas Vincent van Gogh did it the opposite way. He portrayed something nice out of his agony.
No, I can't deny... You know, the artisticness of what he painted and the beauty of it. I'm saying they are beautiful paintings, and I can understand why people love him so much. But But Nahi's character, Black, was saying he's the best artist ever. That's what I'm saying. For me personally, I'd say probably the best artist ever is Leonardo da Vinci because of the time in which he was painting and what he was able to achieve at that time.
Art is always subjective, though, anyway.
He's brilliant. He's brilliant. But some people like Monet, don't they? Monet's sort of a bit weird. Mm. And some people like Picasso, and his art is very diverse. Because some of Picasso's early stuff is very...
Paint one eye.
Yeah, but if you look at...
next to each other.
Yeah, but if you look at his early stuff, that was very contemporary and, you know, so he's gone from one extreme to the other, but still a genius.
I like Salvador Dali. I
think you like Dali. To save a lot of Daleks, did you say?
No.
Salvador Dali. Okay, he was a very...
Chinese takeaway owner.
What spice is that?
Alistair Pearson did some Salvador Dali type work or Ethan Escher type work.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and there are others that I prefer too over Van Gogh. but I think the point of the story is that is an artist that the Dr. Black thinks is the best of all time, and it was important Richard for Curtis. The doctor to bring him there to hear that.
Yeah, right. I appreciate what they achieved with it. I mean, obviously, if you look at City of Death, that was the doctor's way of saying Leonardo da Vinci was the greatest artist of all time. So,
this is a fake.
No, that was obviously it's a fake. It's a science fiction fantasy TV show. You confused
several
me.
Several fakes.
Anyway, let's start. All in all, I think
I've
we're
got
about
two more things to mention. Actually,
oh, go on in. Sorry, I forgot.
I quite like Dr. Black's line about. The time that he was working was like Shakespeare writing Othello, Macbeth, and King Lear in the summer holidays. And then another scene, which I thought it wasn't being artistic in terms of recreating one of Van Gogh's paintings, but the scene where Amy was sitting in the yard with all the sunflowers around her, it was just gorgeous.
I know,
obviously, Karen Gillan, but the light, it was just all beautiful.
Glad when this particular article has come to an end because my throat's getting a bit sore with all this pronunciations.
We could do something about that. We could not pronounce
anybody
that
else? Anything else? Sorry, Reese. I keep forgetting that you're talking about your favourite bits.
They were my last two favourite bits.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Well, there we go then. That's this week.
I didn't mention Karen Gillan's legs in my
our review of Vincent and the Doctor by Richard Curtis. And I wish we had some more Richard Curtis episodes in Doctor Who. I thought we were going to get them, but obviously we're not.
So do I.
Mm. Right, I think it's
Adam. This
wasn't he executive producer for Curse of Fatal Death?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Indeed, yes, he was. Yes. Can I carry on? Yes, good. And now we move on to. News, of course. So Doctor Who has been in the news quite a lot recently, and there's been a lot of lying going on in the world of Doctor Who, keeping people up in Great Britain to midnight waiting for announcements of new Doctors.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
When they didn't come, because obviously the previous week there was people were kept up to midnight for a genuine announcement that Matt Smith was leaving. So... things have developed in the rumours. There's been a couple of favourites that have come to the foreground, one of which was Rory Kinnear, which we mentioned Rory Kinnear last week. Mm. And there was also the little black chap that was in Planet of the Dead. He came to the fore a bit.
No, thank you.
The other one that I was trying to think of last week, which Idris, what's his name again? Mary? Idris
Elba.
Idris Elba.
I think he could certainly... play the Doctor.
Wasn't he in Prometheus?
Oh, he could. What?
Wasn't he in Prometheus as well?
Yep.
Yes, he was, but he was pretty much a throwaway part in Prometheus.
Yeah.
That's what she said. No, that doesn't make sense. yeah, whatever.
Who
was the other one that came to the fore? There was I posted a picture. Oh, yeah. It's Ben. Ben, he's fallen away now. Ben. Somebody or other.
Well, someone made an interesting suggestion on the Facebook page about the fact that because we've never seen Paul McGann in anything but the movie, wouldn't it be interesting to do do some Eighth
Can
Doctor
I just say,
episodes?
Before you were on the show, Mary, I did actually say that's what I'd like to see.
Oh, okay. Well, of course.
So I would like to say
I didn't hear that. But
you should
have taken that would be very interesting to, you know, why keep going forward? Yes. Why not do some, you know, go back in time, yeah, and fill in that period a little bit?
Of course I could, absolutely.
Because he could still be the Doctor, definitely.
Of course not he could. I saw that computer. Picture of him in his, with his sonic screwdriver and his short hair. Yeah, he could certainly play the part.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that. I'd love to see them bring him back somehow.
He could do away with the man bag, but other than that, yeah.
The sad thing is that this was a perfect opportunity, the 50th anniversary, not the 20th, the 50th anniversary to actually, you know, bring him back, you know, a missing Doctor. But because, of Eccleston not doing it, they couldn't do it. It wouldn't make sense to have the 8th. No. Yeah, that too. But never mind. There is news.
And they could make sense of it.
Is that?
They could if they put their minds to it. Yes, they could make it.
Yes, I'd like it, but they won't. Series B premieres in Germany on the 12th of June. So that's good. The people from the school cast from Germany will be able to enjoy that.
Yeah.
But they've probably already watched it, to be fair.
Probably.
not Holland.
Oh, so Kirby, I see your... it might be yours, it might be Matthew's... what is it, notebook or whatever, sitting on the side of the pool there? Is that where you're broadcasting from?
Where's this picture of the pool?
We're seeing the wall. We're seeing the wall on the side of the pool where he's got his computer set up.
Interesting. Yes, I know the picture you're talking
Which
about.
Which picture
Mary,
is that?
Because we have
Which
the laptop.
Is it?
Posted one on Facebook.
There's lots on Facebook.
I'm talking about the laptop
Just
on the wall.
Posted one.
Was he?
Where's the laptop on the wall?
I can see Kirby waving next to the laptop. Oh, I see.
Refresh the page.
Yeah, refresh the page. Yeah, I see. I now see Kirby sitting there. Yeah,
it's a funny.
But,
being
but
able
he also posted a picture.
We can't
he posted
hear.
A picture of the laptop sitting on the wall.
We can't hear there the silly go. Podcasting person.
I'm the first one to
He's
like that
quiet.
Picture. Thank you very much.
Trouble is, we have to pretend that he might be able to hear us. Be careful what we say. Anyway,
God, that Kirby, honestly, what is he doing? Jeez.
And of course, Robert has already liked it. I think he's liked every picture.
That's unusual, isn't it?
He's set up an automatic like system,
hasn't
he?
I think he does.
Maybe the Wi-Fi's gone down at Con Casturbarus, but at least it was up when Caitlin Blackwood came. Oh, hello.
Oh, I didn't realize I had the microphone turned off. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So tell us.
Just when we were going to get particularly insulting. No, just the picture, Kirby, of the laptop on the wall with the speakers and the our artwork and stuff. Curious
and then
to
the
know
picture of you
where
leaving.
You got that artwork from, because that's copyrighted. You do realise that, don't you? I have to charge people when they reproduce these.
It came off of the Facebook page.
It did, didn't
really?
It?
Really?
That's publicly available.
Oh.
Look at
and that's the, those have the wrong feedback on them.
Do they?
What
do you mean they've got the wrong feedback on them? What are you talking about?
Well, it's got the wrong feedback address.
Oh, okay. So they're old-fashioned.
Make sure you give it to Matthew so he can bring it to Chicago.
That's what she said.
Well,
I do
love
this
picture.
Careful with
that
PC as well. We don't want to see it go in the pool.
It does look like it's about to fall off, doesn't it?
No, it's
it
fine.
Does, yeah.
I've got a wall like
are
that in my
sure?
back garden, you know, but it's a bit darker red.
So are we coming out of your speakers, or do you have a setup?
No, those speakers which are sitting right next to it. Do you want to say hi to the podcast? We're podcasting live right now.
Oh, are we?
Hi, guys. It's Lady S.
Hi.
Oh, my God.
Hi.
Hello.
Soliloquy.
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Oh, cool.
You know, I was going to think by 10 o'clock tonight it wasn't going to be worth doing the show if Lady S wasn't going to come and join us here on the podcast.
That's because you can't say her name properly, Adam.
Oh, hey. Shut up. Lady Soliloquy.
That's why you say Lady S. Say it again, please.
Lady Soliloquy. It's like, Mary, who's our sponsors, Mary?
No, shoot.
No, not them.
Shoot.
who.one.co.uk.
Eventually, yes. Hello, Lady
I'll
S.
I'll get there.
Hello, everyone. I wish you guys were all here. We're having a great time.
So
we do too.
So do we.
Wish we could meet you in person.
Did you hear Reese going all gooey when he heard your voice?
Speak for yourself, Adam.
I heard you go gooey. No, don't deny it.
Ew.
Take a picture.
My microphone's
Kirby.
That good, is it?
Yeah, Kirby, take a picture. Come on, put it on. Quick.
Picture. So we want to see a picture of her talking to us.
So
yeah, he's uploading it.
Yes. Okay. Did you mind them avoiding all your special events that you had on just to do this show?
Oh, Adam, how rude.
No, I'm just asking a question. It was related to last week on the show when Kirby said, oh, I don't want to go and see that lot anyway. I just want to do the podcast. That's what you said, Kirby, wasn't it?
That's the Tony
thing,
too.
Yeah.
Tell us about what you did that we missed and Kirby had the opportunity to see.
Well, we had a fabulous dance last night. Probably the first con dance where the entire room was actually dancing, not standing around
Kirby.
Looking at each other.
What, even Kirby?
Including Devin.
And little Caitlin Blackwood is around and has been absolutely fantastic. She's been having a great time. Yeah. Tons of fan activity, great cosplay. Really good panels. It's been an amazing convention this year.
I love that. I love the pictures being posted as well. There's a lady in the background
sort
of looking over. What the bliminets
going
on over there?
Yes.
And there's a lady also behind with a TARDIS dress on, which is really cool.
Yes.
So might you be coming to Chicago this November? Celebrate the 50th up there?
I wish I could. It's a bit out of my range. This is actually very far for me because I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Ooh, you are far. Yeah.
Yes, I am this very far. I think the last event that I have is Dragon Con coming up in the end of August.
Cool. And now senior, I will get round to emailing you the thing I need to email you that I completely forgot about because I've been a bit busy. But I will do it, honestly.
That sounds good.
You might not say that when you see it, but never mind.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's what
she said. So what's your plans for the rest of the convention then?
Well, I just finished up my fandom panel. I'm going to hang out at my table. I'm going to go over here and take pictures with all of these people who are waiting for me. And
excellent.
We're going to have a great evening.
Oh, I bet you are.
Closing ceremonies are at 5. And then after that, it's free to party time.
Oh, cool. Lucky people.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, that's lovely.
Good to chat with you guys. Always good to chat with you guys.
It was Isabella's birthday yesterday. Was it yesterday? Was it the day before? No, it was
lucky
yesterday.
7.
So, so it's rather capped a rather successful weekend.
Yes. Oh,
thank you very much.
Well, you guys have a good time. I've got to run. I'll be listening again very soon, I bet.
I hope so.
Don't trip over anything.
Always love the 20 megabyte podcast. Love.
Oh, a little bumper there. Thank you very much.
Thank
that was Andy.
You.
So she loves the show.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
She was waving at it, even though it's not a video podcast.
I was waving, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Waving back.
Well, Robert did say hello on the Facebook group.
I did too.
Besides liking the picture, yes.
Yeah, straight away he liked the picture.
There's some tagging to be going on in these photos, isn't there? I'll have to do that later.
I'm on the main corridor between registration and where the hallway with all the events. So that's why we're getting lots of people just stopping by.
Good.
Well
good,
done, Kirby.
Good positioning. That's very strategic of you, Kirby.
It's a little late to register now, isn't it?
What?
I said it's a little late to register now, isn't it?
Yeah. Come next year.
No, I'd love to be able to.
It's not nearly as big as Chicago TARDIS, but it's a lot of fun.
That's what she said.
I'm going to say sizes and everything. Yes, I knew you were going to say that.
Woo! But that is not what she says.
That little woo was Mary disagreeing with you.
Ooh, Mary!
Shall I get back to the news?
News? There's news?
Yeah, I was talking about news when you went all quiet.
There are rumours.
Yeah, it's about Bernard Cribbins being on the Graham Norton radio show. It said the interview, which lasts more than 18 minutes, is currently available to listen to I was probably on the BBC radio player, so I don't know if you can listen to BBC radio player other than being in the UK. Is that possible?
Yes, we can.
Yes, you can get it over the internet. Yeah,
a new app. We can get it for the BBC radio internet. Player now. It's really good. I've got it on my iPad because Isabella, for her birthday, got an iPod, and it's a lovely little iPod. It's really good, and she loves
it. What kind
of
iPod?
Yeah, is it the little shuffle?
The previous. No, it's the new iPod Touch. Sorry, not the new iPod Touch. The previous version of the iPod Touch. They sold off
cheap.
She
got a Touch? Wow.
Well, they sold it off cheap because they bought out a new, like an iPhone 5 version of the iPod Touch. Yeah. So it's the iPod 4S version of the iPod Touch. It's
how many gigs?
One. 32. It was 32 gig for the price of what you normally pay for an 8 gigabyte one. So it was really good value.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're not little either.
It's more than what she needs. 32 gigabytes, she can...
Yeah.
Is that what
she'll never need anything.
Is that what she was listening to in that picture, Adam?
Yeah. The thing is, though, my old iPod Touch, it's probably about 4 or 5 years old now. You can't listen out of it anymore. If you put an earphone socket into it, you can only hear from one channel. It's very tinny. And she didn't mind that. So she was going on, plugging it into the car system, and you could only hear... Because obviously some songs sound really weird if you've only got one channel. Some Beatles songs specifically.
Like Beatles,
you can't
precisely.
Hear any drums at all. It's
yeah,
really
yeah.
But it didn't bother her. She'd still play the music.
Like Here Comes the Sun is a good example, Adam.
Yeah, yeah. And but she loved it. And she's looked after it really well for about a year and a half now. It survived. So now she's got her own. I think she deserved. She's such a lovely little girl. She deserved an iPod Touch for her 7th birthday. And
Adam.
She loves it, yeah.
Is it Adam? Did you say when she turns 8 that she's coming on the podcast?
When she turns 8, she will start watching Doctor Who from the beginning, like Alicia did when she turned 8.
We've got a year to go then. A year to go.
Yeah. But Alicia didn't start doing any podcasting until probably about 2 years after that, so we'll see what happens with that. You've got to bear in mind she was 12 when we started this show. But she was 10, like I say, when we did the original podcast that this show was sort of born from, which started 2 years before. Ben Shoveler's. I did have the original Ben Shoveler interview that I did on that, you know, that original podcast. So anything I've not published.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
What was the name of the previous show?
It was.
And are the episodes available to listen to?
No, they're not listening. They were originally on Podbean, but they got taken off. And they are on early episodes of the 20 Megabyte podcast. I have published extracts that are listenable to that I'm not embarrassed about. So they are on the 20 Megabyte podcast. It was called Whovian Anorak. I think it was called the Dr. Whovian podcast. And then it was changed to Whovian Anorak or one way, either one or the other. I can't remember. But I remember when the first episode went out and we got 5 listeners and I actually got some feedback and it was really amazing. Even though we only had 5
Do you remember who your first feedback person was?
No, I don't actually know.
Reese Bat.
It wasn't Reese Bat, I can't remember. But it was. But then it wasn't on. I couldn't work out how to get it onto iTunes, so that's why we gave up because we couldn't get the audience and it wasn't worth going to the effort I had to go to record it because I had so many pieces of equipment to try and loop things into a computer. It was just such a laboured thing in the end. It just
back in the old days.
Terrible. But we did 5 episodes. But anyway, and it's because of the
it'd be interesting to listen
Whocast.
To.
The DW Whocast is the reason why we did that original podcast because I used to listen to that. It was probably only a couple of podcasts out then. And so
now, why did you stop?
Because it was just too much effort. It was just... And the fact that we couldn't get it onto iTunes, I couldn't work out how to get it onto iTunes. So I thought, this isn't worth it. It takes me so long to produce this show. It's only about 20 minutes long. But for 5 listeners, I didn't really think it was worth it.
Well, is it worth it now?
No.
Yeah.
With a 5,000.
Adam!
No, I'm joking. You know I'm joking. I'm still here, aren't I? Grief. Anyway, back to news. Vengeance on Farris is going to be on UK TV in New Zealand. That's obviously where Robert lives.
Who keeps saying I live in New Zealand?
One of the contributors said, that New Zealand bloke who keeps eating things.
I know.
wasn't it Gail
what
Willis?
I think they were joking.
Yeah. No, that was earlier on when I said about Vincent Van. Oh, sorry, you're joking about choking. Sorry. Hey, Kirby's gone all quiet again, hasn't he?
No, I haven't.
Oh, sorry.
Just turned up his mic.
Do you? And fight with each other.
Anyway.
I'm not. Yes, you are.
I'm not yet.
The official Doctor Who online store has launched in Australia, or been launched, sorry, in Australia by BBC Worldwide, offering more than 400 products.
Did they get the rockets from the Space and Rocket Center here in Huntsville?
I don't know, but I can guarantee they're not as good as whowon.co.uk, where you can buy Doctor Who stuff, etc. Yes. And in fact, people in Australia can buy stuff from whowon.co.uk. You're not bothered with that. The BBC Worldwide online store in Australia. BFI is to show recovered Dalek film report, which is about the Dalek invasion of Earth 2050 AD film.
Yes.
Yeah?
They got clips of that on one of the latest DVDs. DVDs, anyway.
They have. Jenna Louise Coleman meets the Queen. And she was one of the people honoured to speak to the Queen during her visit to the BBC News broadcasting house. Now, I saw some of this footage on the news, not the bit where she met Jenna Louise Coleman, but where they're doing a news report and they sort of took camera saying we've got a very special guest. And behind them, you see the Queen all her entourage.
Yeah, I saw that. That was cool.
It was really, really good. I love that. And she was lovely. So charming. They had her on the radio. And you see her when the kids come up to her. She just changes and becomes sort of radiant. And she's so wonderful with kids. And like I say, where she was with Alicia when Alicia met her. She's a lovely lady, Her Majesty.
Recently that her husband is in the hospital right now?
Yeah, not very well.
Abdominal surgery.
He's very old. But Nelson Mandela is also unwell and, you know,
in hospital.
The poll that was taken by YouGov, UK's main opinion polling agency, and they just, you know, interviewed a lot of adults. It says 1,974 adults, asking them if they'd even heard of the show, and 31% said they had, and of that 31%, 43% say David Tennant was their favorite doctor.
Yes.
And the next one that came in was Tom Baker at 16%.
You nearly said Saxon, didn't you?
Even where Matt Smith came in.
16.
Are you New Zealand? From New Zealand. 16.
Yeah.
What was it? Actually, I think it was Christopher Lee Gallagher again said it should be Tom Baker and he should say, "Oh my, I've degenerated." Yeah.
Rather interestingly, like all your audio tracks have. And you can't blame Alicia this time because she's in the bath, so she's not using any of the bandwidth.
Alicia!
Last time you went all Dalek on us, it wasn't her either.
Yeah, but this is weird. Why is it after a certain length of time, recently, the quality of the Skype call audio starts dying? I mean, this is absurd.
Just for you, Adam. It's just to annoy me,
isn't it, Kirby?
Is it the quality of the Skype call or the quality of the podcast?
No, the quality. Yeah, probably both.
Ooh,
I'm not impressed. Apologies to listeners. It's not our fault. It's Skype's fault.
You know what? You know I'm just messing with you, Adam. Yes.
I know.
Does he?
Don't mess with my Adam.
Right, or is he?
Yes, thank you, Skype. Not impressed.
Now, does everybody sound just a little muted to you, like the bass has been turned up?
No, it sounds to me like everybody sort of decided to borrow Kirby's old microphone.
On an AM radio.
And,
Yeah, the quality...
My hearing is crap, so I can't tell the difference.
Anyway, back to news.
How is John Smith doing today?
Well, it was doing all right up to then. Hello.
Je ne sais pas.
Is Kirby gone? Oh,
no,
well, you said just had hello, and then you didn't answer and said yes. Oh, well, never mind. Back to news. No, John Smith's fine.
He's not in the Crotons. Did you call Kirby gone? Kirby gone?
No.
What?
I said, where's he gone? Never mind.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, by the way, I wanted to move on with some more news. A character have brought out some, like we said, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, 3.75-inch figures of various characters, like the Ice Warrior, the Weeping Angel, the Doctor in Long Coat, a a sort of sorry, not Amy. It's a Clara. It looks a little bit like the old figure of the Amelia Pond, played by Caitlin Blackwood, very topically, that I've got up on my shelf, and the new Cybermen and the Daleks from Asylum of the Daleks.
And we were talking about how the Clara doesn't look like her at all, really.
No, that's what I'm saying. She looks more like Caitlin Blackwood's little figure that they brought out. But with dark hair instead of red hair. Anyway, odds on who weekend update for last weekend. The favourite last weekend, I think, was Ben Daniels. Apparently Ben Daniels has now been sort of... Well, they've said he's not doing it. But also I heard this weekend they've actually shot these publicity shots of the new Doctor. So, interesting to see what happens there.
Oh, really?
Apparently so. So something will get out. They need to announce it. Helen Mirren?
What? She's on there.
Anyway.
25 Where is she?
Oh, I've got an idea. I've got an idea to restore everybody's audio.
Oh.
Hang on, the dog's barking. Right.
What?
I've got it.
We closed the internet window
No. Remember, be quiet. Remember my audio went funny and then I rebooted my computer and it was all right. That's my plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
How does everybody feel about...
You're going to reboot the computer again.
Oh, have you rebooted? No? Okay. How does everybody feel about a five-minute break to reboot their own computers and see if that works? And if it doesn't, I'll just carry on with everybody sounding like they're talking through one of those, you know, the old cups with a string. We used to pull it tight.
Is my working?
Right.
Is my working?
Yeah. Be quiet. Right.
Yes.
Robin, it might take a little...
Pulling the string.
Right. Yes, sir.
We don't sound bad at all.
Be quiet. So how do we feel about that? Is everybody happy with the idea of doing a reboot and re-link up in a few minutes' time?
Yeah,
anybody
fine.
Objecting?
It might take a little more than 5 minutes, but
yes, precisely.
Why would it take more than 5 minutes?
The world's greatest is... This computer isn't the world's greatest.
But it works. I'll tell you what, should we give it a go? Okay, right then. So
all right,
we'll stop recording in 3, 2, 1. Hang on, when I go 3, 2, 1, and then we'll all do a reboot. So 3, 2, 1, bye!
Welcome to the world of football mad Troy Brown, a typical 15-year-old with a loving family, a tight-knit group of friends, and a nice house in Cowes on the Isle of Wight. Materially, he has a comfortable life, but then no hormone-ridden, angst-filled teenager would ever describe their life as comfortable, and Troy was no exception. Plagued as he was, the whole world is against me complex, no girlfriend syndrome, and the pains of requited love or lust, and the usual horde of teenage frustrations and obsessions. A privileged peek into his private, warts and all, 2003 diary reveals transformation of his boring, ordinary life as Troy tries to negotiate his many twists and turns in what was to become the most extraordinary year of his life. Fraught with family secrets, misunderstandings, dangerous liaisons, challenging adventures, shocking realities, and unexpected outcomes, interspersed with teenage insights into the state of the world, including war, crime, death and disease. As you travel with Troy on his one-year life-changing journey, you will undoubtedly laugh at the adolescent humour, cry at his misfortune, sympathise with his plights and empathise with his feelings as he works through his personal traumas, and is forced to learn by his mistakes. Be warned, however, those of a sensitive disposition may also be shocked by some of the diary's content, possibly offended, but you are, after all, delving into the grimy mind of a pubescent youth. The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin by Adam Pearson, available as a paper book or as an e-book from Amazon and iTunes. And if you're interested in the sequel, From Troy to Man, Troy Brown resumes his diary. He is 17 and he desperately wants to leave home and start his life as a bachelor. He has just been dumped by his first proper girlfriend, and not because he has accidentally cheated on her twice during their relationship. She wants to play the field. Most of his friends have moved away from the island, and life out of school proves to be quite a challenge for him. Troy is forced to grow up because of his incredible ability to make mistakes. His mistakes, as usual, are of a sexual nature, and the consequences of unprotected sex begin to appear, seemingly out of thin air. Faced with fatherhood and separation from his children, Troy's attitude to life changes forever. His main concern isn't football anymore. It is how the hell is he going to be able to be a real father to his children, and how many children has he got? Of course, his life is full of the other problems associated with day-to-day life. Will he ever find a true love? Will he ever find a job that he is truly happy in? Can he solve a murder mystery? Can he avoid being murdered himself? Will he ever be able to be a true father to his children? All of these questions are answered in this book. If you thought that being a 15-year-old virgin was enough of a rollercoaster ride for Troy, read on. This year and a half of his life may leave you needing to ingest a large dose of motion pills. From Troy to Man is available as an ebook from Amazon and from iTunes. If you're a fan of quizzes, and happened also to be a fan of the Beatles, why not buy The Beatles Quiz Book by Adam Pearson? It is available as an ebook from Amazon or from iTunes.
So you guys are now on my internal speakers for the laptop.
Oh, well, sorry about that.
Mine sound actually good, my speakers. But I'm listening on headphones.
Anyway, right. So,
but that doesn't help you, does it, Kirby? Sorry.
No, I was just thinking.
So glad that
they're,
worked.
They're showing the Eighth Doctor movie.
Oh, the poor things. I mean, oh, lovely.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Anyway, back to news. The
news?
Yeah,
why?
News. That's what we're doing, news, Kirby. We're on news. Doctor Who tops May iPlayer requests. Bells of St. John, altogether 9.78 million. Rings of Akaten.
I thought you wanted us to say that altogether.
8.65 million. And right down the bottom, Rings the name of the Doctor. I know it's not actually, I've got that wrong. What's down the bottom? It's Journey to the Centre of the TARDIS.
The TARDIS, yeah. Then next we've got Crimson Aura.
Yeah. Crimson Aura.
And then Oid.
Oid.
And then
guess what? If you're French, you're going to be very happy because you're going to be the first people to see the docudrama TARDIS Console. There you go.
Ooh. What's that?
The first Doctor's TARDIS Console built for an adventure in time and space. For the forthcoming docudrama about Doctor Who Genesis. Doctor Who's Genesis is to get its first public display at next month's Comic-Con in Paris.
Harry!
You lucky Frenchies.
Oh. You onion-eating people.
Oh, garlic.
It's spit in your general direction.
Yeah, I don't blame you because garlic's lovely. So we just alienated all our Dutch listeners, all our French listeners.
I love it too.
We're on a roll tonight, aren't we?
Losing fans, left and right.
And New Zealand, and New Zealand.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, you're still listening, aren't you? Anyway. All right, I'll see if I can dig up some feedback. And I'll let you know, nobody listened to me last week, and I said, can you send your feedback into the 20mb.feedback@gmail.com?
Somebody did listen.
Nobody else other than the ever-reliable Captain Ian Kirk.
Well,
Matthew didn't have to because he's been on the podcast this time
around. So does that mean no one listens to us?
No, people listen to us. It's blatantly obvious. For some reason, people listen to us. What isn't blatantly obvious is why they can't be bothered to write into us. But I'm not complaining because this week we've heard some lovely, real people live at Con Casterbra, so it's been quite good that way. So I'm not going to complain too much. But we do have some feedback nevertheless. Jeff Waddle sent me a long email. I'm not going to read it out because he did say at the end of it, if you want to read this out on the show, or shall I read it? Because we didn't get much feedback. Jeff, I wasn't going to read out your email because because you said it was a rant and you said I can if I like. But
we're hard up.
I've decided, we're hard up for feedback, so I'm going to read it anyway. Right, bear with me.
I've had a bit of rants, though. The whole fandom's been ranting recently.
Oh, who cares?
Yes, they have.
Yes.
This is Jeff Waddle. True, hello, yeah. Jeff.
And we like Jeff, so we want to hear his rant.
Okay.
Hello,
this is Jeff Waddle. I would like to make it clear. Stop talking over Jeff's feedback. Sorry, email.
Somebody wrote.
Be quiet. Right, I'll start again. Hi all. I would like to make it clear why it's better for me not to be in the group. Every post I put there seems to generate discussion, which is a good thing. I don't write in my opinion all the time, because obviously it is. For some reason, people take the right hump with me for having an opinion because it doesn't fit with their view. I deleted two posts on Friday night because when I said I didn't want a young doctor, within minutes, apparently I'm an ageist now. The clue here is opinion.
None of us said that.
Exactly. I am not quite sure why my post about me not wanting to be a coloured, yes, we say that in Scotland, doctor, caused much fuss. The thing, if you say coloured, I suppose it obviously depends what age you sort of come from. South Africa, coloured was somebody who was a half caste.
South Africa.
So it just depends, you know, where you come from. Yeah, so it's not terrible.
So we've just alienated South Africa now.
We're on a roll tonight.
Anyway, yeah, that's what we're
checklist.
Saying.
Let's start ticking them
off. So basically you're saying they say coloured in Scotland. Doctor caused so much fuss. So basically, I'll carry on reading it. I gave my reasons and I looked back and I can't see anything racist in there. That's because there isn't anything racist in there, Jeff.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Raised a good point that I hadn't thought about, to be honest.
As I said, because remember, if you are a long-term listener to the 20 Megabyte Doctory podcast, many, many eons ago, I said something and Alicia said, that's racist. And I explained to her, no, racism
I
is
remember
when, you,
that.
When you persecute somebody because
when
of the colour of their skin.
Sheep,
not because you might say that person is white, green, purple or whatever. It's persecuting somebody because of what race they are.
Yeah. Right. We all happen to be white and there might be a black person who wants to come on wandering around at Congress
Cerberus.
And
some people, their race and their ethnicism is very important to them. So they want to recognise that. So that's not racist.
But I ran into that with my daughter too. I will make a comment that I have no intention of, slamming anybody, but she'll immediately turn to me and say, "Oh, Mom, you sound so racist." And I think the young are being brought along to be more sensitive to it than they need to be. Yeah.
It's PC gone wrong, unfortunately. And I can speak from personal experience because a good quarter of my family have ancestors from Ghana, so they all look Afro-Caribbean, and it's going too far. The people who actually are at the centre of this, and I put inverted commas, racism, don't get offended by it. Not by people saying you are a black person or whatever. It's people who don't understand, who are slightly narrow-minded, that get offended. And these people invent these PC things and bring in these stupid rules that you can't celebrate Christmas because it might offend a certain ethnic group. You know, it's things like that. It's silly. It's just let people celebrate what they want to celebrate and believe what they want to believe. Anyway, back to the
and let them be
email.
Who they are without applying any discrimination to what somebody's saying
let
about
it
them.
Be, let it be.
Let it be.
Let it be.
Anyway,
let it be.
I got to the bit where he said that about his he didn't think his remarks were racist, and I said that's because they're not. Thank and he said it would have pointed it would have been pointed out straight away, but you don't know what. I wouldn't do that because I'm not as I just said. At least I'm talking about the issue, which is a good thing. I am really, really fed up with people hinting at racism when there is none. And the best thing, the best of it being, it is mostly from white people who speak out, true, as if they know best.
Yeah, that's true.
On behalf of an ethnic group.
So to kind of make a point there, he says that there's no racism in saying he doesn't want a black doctor, and I completely agree there isn't. But also he justified why he doesn't want a black doctor. Mm. I can't justify why I don't want a female doctor, and that could be taken as racism because I'm just saying, no, I don't want a female doctor.
It could be
sexism.
Yeah, sexism, that's it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? Who I'm sure can speak up for themselves? Sorry, I did join that sentence halfway through. And rightly so. To me, this is sickening. I am sick to the back teeth of it. I'm sorry, I'm on a comma with my cursor. And as I pointed out, this is where every criticism of the show would lead to an accusation of racism, probably not from any ethnic person, but from a white person inflicting their backward views just for the sake of being outraged to justify their own view. That is what I really detest. Not colour, creed, age, anything like that. It's these people who are waiting to pour scum on anyone not agreeing with their views. I noticed that...
Scorn, I think that means, Adam. Yeah, babe,
it says scone. Scorn. Scone. They like scones. They're nice. Especially
some
cream.
Scone.
I noticed that there was a few people agreed with
me. People were saying that scone.
Why were they not given a hard time? And let's be honest. All I'm saying is that a coloured, black, whatever doctor is not, in my opinion, a good idea. So why is it any different, really, to say Kirby saying he wants a British actor? It's just an example. Yeah, it's a good example. What do you think, Kirby?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Oh, he's
sorry, I'm... No, I'm not.
Yeah, do you agree with that?
He's chewing the fat.
I'm having some issues right now because of the fact that I... I just switched over to some headphones. Trying to listen, but it's a little difficult.
I do apologize. I'll carry on then. You can choose to read this out or not, which I have chosen to read out. I will still listen to the podcast. I should hope so too. Wouldn't miss it. But please don't turn this into a major issue, because although I'm overwhelmed we're not turning it into a issue. We're adding our opinion to his comments. I was overwhelmed at the last one. But one podcast, which never mind, I'm not going to go back down that road. I found it cringeworthy as well. That was my fault. I am rather cringeworthy sometimes, as I am like anyone else. My opinion is more important than anyone else, unless it is offensive. But do you know what? It's mine, and I'm proud that I have my own instead of jumping on the bandwagon. P.S. The reasons I don't have a picture of myself as my ident is genuinely because I don't like getting my photo taken, and I don't have a mobile one. But ask yourself one thing: how does anyone know I'm not black? Yeah, good point. Or coloured? Would that make a difference? Damn right it would. And by the way, I spoke to my mate at work, the one who's black, and he's genuinely offended. If you call him black. Well, again, that's down to him as an individual, isn't it?
It is, yes, because he is black-coloured.
Yeah, but if he's offended by that, then fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know what? He doesn't want a black doctor either, or a woman. Funny that. Hey, take care. That's brilliant, brilliant email, Jeff. And,
oh, it is. It is.
I'm sorry, again, that people have been a bit mean to you and you've had to leave the group, but I totally understand, you know, if you're getting too much stick for things that you're perfectly entitled to say, then leave the group, but please continue to listen to the show.
And he's right, though. Whenever one person posts an opinion, everybody is responding pretty much to that first opinion, instead of responding just to the comment, you know, above their own.
And also, I'd like to apologise for the way I read that out. I'm quite a long way from the Mac. My glasses are a bit dirty, and I can't really read the very small text very well. So that's my excuse.
You're getting old, Adam. You're getting old.
That too.
But Jeff's posts. I want Jeff to continue.
Yeah, I do too.
So what
whatever he says always initiates a lot of commentary, I think that's great.
That's what he's complaining about.
I'd like him to come back to the group.
He won't do, and I don't blame him. But what I would suggest, Jeff, if you want to put your opinions across, please write into the show. We'll read it out, and you won't get any stick from us. And generally, people don't write in or bother writing into the show anyway. So,
let's not promise he won't get any stick. He might say something that we don't like, we'll have to counter that.
But we're not going to go quite down the road that people have been going down.
So you're saying he has left the group
for the reasons that he gets too much stick, and I totally understand that.
Well,
And I hope he doesn't find me reading this out, and I hope he doesn't think our opinions of what he said are cringeworthy. That is not meant to be. It's our honest, you know, and humble.
Sorry to balance it out, Jeff. You're a.
Thank you. Reese.
Leave it to Reese.
Really. Get anyway, right. So I've got some audio feedback, if I can get
it.
Yeah,
he is, isn't he? He's
you!
The kid, isn't he? Who's the
git? You. No, Reese. Which means I've got I was hoping this was going to be a proper live show, apart from the bits I've had to edit out because of Skype. Because we're live at Conker Sturbris. This is some audio feedback.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is in Kirk.
Hello.
Hello. We're here.
Saying the Doctor's real name opens his tomb. Could it be Abracadabra? Then again, Dorian said it was hidden in plain sight. Could it be Sweetie? Vincent and the Doctor by Richard Curtis. The wheat in the opening scene reminds me of Let's Kill Hitler.
Yeah.
The car is driving through the wheat field.
Uh-huh.
Why is the Doctor in such a tearing hurry to get back to Vincent's time? He seems just impetuous, because he can go whenever he wants.
Is it exciting?
The Doctor says half of Vincent's paintings in the museum will vanish if he is killed. Time rewritten. Aim and the Doctor fail to prevent Vincent's suicide. Time staying the same. When the Doctor is going to fight the monster, he sees a carving of St. George and the dragon. If they must have an actress as the next Doctor, how about Nicola Bryant, after she has finished with King Icarus?
Oh, there's an echo there.
I can say the next actor to play the Doctor will be taller than General Wayes. And I must say Warwick Davis. He's more of a character actor than a leading man.
Thanks.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Appearing live. Live-ish.
Sorry about the echo.
Conker Sturbris.
Just got another speaker.
Echo.
Now, is there an echo now?
Echo.
Did you hear that?
But I can hear.
Okay. Now I can actually hear you.
Okay.
Hello, Kurt.
Now I can actually hear you guys.
Unfortunately, I didn't hear Ian's feedback at all.
Unfortunately, I didn't hear Ian's feedback.
He was really slating you.
Oh, yeah, he was. I mean, honestly, it's just the truth.
I don't know how he gets away with it.
I'm not going to repeat it because you might find it a bit offensive.
Actually, he made a good point about Vincent, the Doctor and Amy not being able to change Vincent's depression. And actually, was it falling in love with Amy and then having Amy go away that made him go into the final stage of depression?
Yeah, exactly.
Is a question that I wanted to raise.
Yeah,
I was going to say bring up, but I know somebody would say.
it is a good point. I mean, we have rather dodged the point of bipolar, but I'm sure everybody's known somebody that has had bipolar. In fact, my father had bipolar, and we didn't even know it right up to after he died. And in a way, I feel slightly guilty that I didn't like the bloke very much. I apologize. I did love him. I did love him. He's my dad, but we were completely poles apart as people.
Pole dancing.
Poles apart. And just, he wanted to get on with me at the age I was, and the fact that I just found him so irritating. I didn't want, and his wife was terrible. And the trouble is, he was a chronic alcoholic, as was his wife. And I think, you know, two alcoholics together, never going to work, even if they're like, you know, they're sort of dry alcoholics initially when they first got together, but obviously had a few bad times. And what are they going to turn to? Booze.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah, but he clearly had bipolar, but at the time it wasn't mentioned. I have a friend who has bipolar. She's on medication for it and she's fine. And
I'm on medication too.
Yeah. It's it's a thing we sort of...
Medication.
We dodge to a certain degree the subject.
Robert, are you bipolar?
No, but I do suffer from depression. But I take medication. But I worked in that sort of area, so you know, for me, it's something that wasn't.
Did you burp again? Then
you know, I talk about so.
No.
Did he burp?
But what we're trying to allude to is the fact that obviously in Vincent Van time, depression was, there was no real...
Put in asylums.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is, people like that obviously need to be treated, but the trouble is, you hear so many maniacs going around blowing people up just because they're mad. Me and Deb were thinking maybe you should bring back asylums just for people who are not fit to be out in society, that, you know, are going to be a danger to themselves and to other people. But obviously, that might be a bit controversial.
Yeah, but you get the civil libertarians, Adam.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
And the lawyers, yeah. Etc. They...
The daughter that I adopted, her mother was bipolar, very badly bipolar. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing was, is that when she was on her meds, she was fine. But once they're fine and feeling good and they're in that up phase, yes. They don't think they need their meds.
They stop taking their medication.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so she ended up having all of her kids taken away from her because she was incapable of taking care of them. Mm. So, and my daughter shows some signs of that, so yeah. So that's not too happy.
Yeah, it's a trouble. There's always that worry of the hereditary thing, like I say, with my father being a chronic alcoholic, you know, and Anisha at the moment being 15, 16 is obsessed with going out and partying and having a few drinks. I mean, I did it when I was 16. I didn't fortunately turn into an alcoholic, but there's always in the back of your mind that somebody in the family might go down that road, you know, and it's hard on Alicia because she just wants to enjoy herself, but
right,
you've just got to be aware of it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Oh, by the way, and Kirby, I really enjoyed your picture of your screen
yes.
While waiting to reboot.
Now, that just happened to be the screen that I had on there when I set it up just in case Caitlin could see it, and she didn't. But,
so, did you see my
yeah, I saw
did you see
comment.
My comment, Kirby?
Yeah,
I saw it.
By the way, Kirby, was thinking maybe... Kirby, before so I forget...
I think that fitted because...
Yeah.
Before I forget, thank you and Matthew so much for getting Caitlin on the show. That's really chuffed me.
Mostly Matthew.
I might not sound like I'm really chuffed a bit, so that's just
thank
my
you,
demeanor.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you very, very, very much.
Absolutely yeah, he's, delighted.
He's vanished again. He's probably in there with the showing of the Eighth Doctor.
Is he in that TARDIS?
He's back.
Oh, and front and sides.
Hello.
Hello. And Matthew, we were in the midst of thanking you for bringing Caitlin to us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And also for bringing Lady S to us as well, because I was hoping she was going to be on the show.
Yeah.
Well, she just happened to be walking by, I think.
That's just wonderful.
Yeah, she was walking by and saw the signs.
Did she? Oh, cool.
I'd noticed you before.
Excellent.
Is she religious?
Nice advertise.
Signs of four.
As I say, this is this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Are you joining in, Matthew?
I might.
No, I will not, because I actually...
Are we joining in, Matthew?
In the preparations for the convention, I actually had to record a bunch of Doctor Who episodes. So I spent all week watching classic series episodes and never getting the chance to watch the episode.
So you're coming up with some sort of excuse, are you?
Well, Kirby's telling me I should join in anyways.
Unbelievable.
That's pretty lame. You need to lose like the rest of us.
Reason.
Yeah. All right, I'll join in.
I'm joking. Damn. Now I've got to get a piece of paper now. Hang on.
Join the losers.
He's here for the duration.
I'm writing down everybody's names on a piece of paper.
You can talk, Mary. You won last time by a clear mile.
No, I didn't. I did not win. I did not win. I came in third place.
No, she was second.
Second? Oh, okay, second.
Okay. I'm writing down names and then we'll start.
She did come last, Mary.
That's my usual place.
Like someone.
First question will go to Mary, because that's just the first name I wrote down.
Oh, thank you.
Now, like contrary.
First
one to sound stupid.
But don't be silly. Right, there we go.
What is this week's episode about?
These are easy. Be quiet.
Vincent Van Gogh.
Mary?
Yes?
Where was the art gallery?
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you will know. You have the notes.
Yeah, he knows it all.
Cheat.
See, this is supposed to be easy, and I don't know. I have to pass.
I tell you what,
Can I answer?
Hang on, Robert. Because Robert's got the notes, if you can tell me the city that the art gallery is in, I'll give you the point, Mary.
Well, it's in Paris.
It's in Paris.
Correct.
Yeah, 2010 AD. Musée d'Orsay.
I think it was there before that, too.
Yes, well done, Mary, for helping Robert not get those points. Robert, this is your question. Robert?
Yes?
What two places has the Doctor recently taken Amy when they visit the art gallery?
Oh, bugger, I didn't write that down. Mary did.
I know.
Oh, me. My hand is up.
I know.
Mary?
Yes?
Mary's got it.
Hang on, who's going to...
Yeah, but Reece yelled out before me, so he should
Robert,
have
are you passing?
Of...
But you had your hands up before.
Oh, Robert. Yes,
I did have my hands up.
Okay, then.
I did.
So who's going to take the spare point? Reece.
Before they went to the Musée d'Orsay, the Doctor took Amy to Arcadia and the Trojan Gardens.
Here's the correct answer.
Yay.
Next question goes to Kirby.
Uh-oh.
What was the name of Bill Nighy's character?
Dr. Somebody. Black. I don't remember the name.
Dr. Black.
There's another point for Reece.
Yes.
This question's for Reece.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Again?
What? Be quiet. Yes, because it's his question. That was Kirby's question last time.
He just didn't know.
He's taking Reece's funny question.
Right, Reece.
Yes.
Thanks.
What year did Van Gogh or Van... paint the picture with the evil thing in it?
The evil? Ooh. 1890.
Here's a correct answer. Matthew?
Yes.
What month?
What was the name of the man at the bar?
Oh, wow.
At the bar?
At the
bar?
I have no idea.
Van Spar.
Oh. No.
Do you still have no idea, Matthew?
I've got no idea.
Okay,
I've got no idea.
Anybody else?
I've got no idea. Nope.
I have no idea.
Okay, well,
I don't know what bar you're talking about.
Van?
Is that that cafe?
The one that they recreated so beautifully.
Yes.
The cafe?
That one, yes.
The cafe.
Oh, that waiter dude.
Why did you call it a cafe?
I don't know what his name was.
A cafe, not a bar.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Oh, right, does anybody know his blooming name?
No.
Right, okay.
His name's Blumen?
Blumen?
His name was Maurice. Okay, Maurice.
Maurice.
Where did you get that from?
From the program.
From listening to the show.
I watch it with subtitles to get the...
I did too.
But Maurice was mentioned a few times.
Yeah.
Moving on. Next question is for Mary.
Yes.
Right. Remember, there's a girl gets killed in the story. What was her name?
I know that.
Oh, Giselle.
Is correct.
Yes, that's correct.
Yay.
Robert?
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
What drink does Vincent offer Amy and the Doctor when they arrive at his house?
Uh-oh, pages are rustling.
Correct. This is for Kirby.
That was a great line. Maybe that's enough coffee for you now.
Kirby, right.
Yes.
What type of tea does the Doctor suggest Vincent drinks?
Sorry, someone's talking over
you. That would be Robert.
Try again.
Robert.
And I just said the answer too.
What type of tea does the Doctor suggest Vincent drinks when he gets a
chamomile.
Correct.
It's because Robert said the answer while you were reading the question.
I should really deduct a point off Robert for that, but I'm feeling like
that. No, give him his point.
Deduct
the question.
No, he jumped in. Jumping in, you get points deducted for jumping in. It's been a long established on this show. Next question is for Reece.
Oh dear, yes.
Who gave the Doctor his gadget?
His smelly godmother with two heads and really bad breath twice.
Yes. I'm going to give you that. It wasn't quite as I had it written down, but that's pretty close.
He said a
dull godmother with two heads and bad breath twice. And then he said,
let's see. Smelly godmother.
Never mind. Next question
is for... I'm a dog godmother, two heads and bad breath twice. Yeah, how wrong can a man be?
Thank you. Matthew?
I don't know this, but go ahead and ask me anyway.
I will. Who does the Doctor consider to be a proper painter?
Oh, that's right. That was...
My hand is up. My hand is up.
Give it to Mary.
Go on, Mary.
Gainsborough.
Here's the correct answer.
Yeah.
At this point, we'll do a score roundup. In last place, with no points, is Matthew. In third place, with 2 points, is Robert and Kirby. And joint first place, I'm getting confused by these positionings, is Mary and Reese with 6. Yes. Just well, you're not New Zealand, otherwise you'd be saying I have sex. Anyway.
Yes.
Next question goes to Mary.
Again?
Yeah. Yes, everybody does get a turn on questions, Robert, how it works in the quiz.
Kirby didn't know the answer. Mary did, so it went to her. And now this is her question.
I know.
To go to me. No, to her.
Mary.
Yes?
What species is a monster?
Species?
Yes, I know. What is he?
I know it's my hands nomadic, but...
No, but what's the name of the monster?
Well, it's a Crophaeus.
That's the correct answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that was the species.
That's its species, yes. Well done. Right. Next question is for Robert.
What's the name of the species?
Yes.
Robert, what does the doctor say his plan is like?
Oh, bugger.
Oh!
When did he say that?
During the episode.
Pages on the screen. This is on page 5. Is that
page
5? Page 5, I'm looking at page 5.
Don't fair look at your notes.
All right.
I know.
Put that down.
Come on.
Reese knows.
It's going to be time up in a minute.
Is that... Hold on. I just said... Vincent spots creature in church window. Doctor picks up gear. Leaves Amy one simple instruction. Don't follow me under any circumstances.
That's all of it.
Reese.
Robert, quiet, please.
Go on, Reese.
He's not got a plan. He's got an idea, which is like a plan, but vaguer.
Oh, that's what I was hoping for. No, it's not the correct answer. We're so close, but not enough to get the point. The answer is like a plan, but with more greyness.
He ducked from Adam, even though he's not playing.
Right. Kirby.
Me?
Yeah, you. This is your question. You ready?
Yeah.
Do we have two Kirby's?
I suppose.
How did the doctor describe Michelangelo?
With words. He warned him to...
No, it's one word he used as a describer.
Can I say?
He's afraid of height.
You can, Robert. Go on.
Can I?
Yes.
He says, what a whinger. I kept saying to him, look, if you're scared of heights, you should have taken the job.
Here's the correct answer. Right.
Call another painter a goat. What a silly old goat or something like that.
Reese, this is your question.
Yes.
What does the doctor ask Amy while they are hiding from the monster in the church?
I know.
Could you breathe a little quieter, please?
Is precisely the answer.
Yes.
Even I knew that one.
Well, that's good. This is your question. Matthew?
Yep.
What does Vincent say will happen if Amy gets sick of the doctor and returns?
I don't know.
Okay, that's not quite the answer.
I know.
Who said first? I heard Mary's voice pipe up.
Mary was first.
Go on, Mary.
Can you ask that again so I can hear?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll ask
he
it
said
again.
They would. Oh, go ahead.
I'll ask the question, but you do get to answer it, Mary.
That makes sense. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. What does Vincent say will happen if Amy gets sick of the doctor and returns? Mary, my answer is Mary.
That they'll get married and have a lot of kids.
Children by the dozens.
Is essentially the answer. Yes.
What's the exact wording? Come on.
I don't know.
They will have children by
Adam
the dozen.
No, Adam knows.
They will have children by the dozen.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, right, so a score update.
She goes, eee!
In last place, for some reason, is Matthew with nothing. In second to last place...
For some reason, it's because I didn't have time to watch the episode.
Excuses. No, we're cheering you on. You go, Matthew.
Excuses. In second to last place... Kirby with 2. In third place, if you want to look at it the other way, is Robert with 3. Ooh, and he's got the notes. In second place is Reese with 8. And in the lead with 9, it's Mary. Next question goes to Mary.
I don't remember things like this usually.
Mary.
Yeah.
Oh,
is
Mary.
It my turn?
This is your turn, yes. You ready?
Yeah.
What happened to the TARDIS when Vincent enters?
What happens to the TARDIS?
When it events, what has happened to the TARDIS?
Oh, okay. It got covered by all those posters.
Here's the correct answer.
Okay.
Robert, what control does the Doctor stop Vincent from touching in a panicked way? I mean, that's the Doctor panicking.
It's the something friction contrabulator.
You're looking it up on your notes. Near enough, but yes, he was cheating, wasn't he? But I'll give him the points. It's not cheating.
It's my notes.
The friction.
If I can't look at the Wikipedia page, you can't look at your notes.
No, you can't.
Listen.
But you didn't write the Wikipedia thing.
Yeah.
Quiet. I technically agree.
Adam.
Yes.
Lady Soliloquy just commented and said it was great to chat to everyone.
Well, it was great to chat to her. But it was the friction contrafibrillator, and I agree with Kirby, but Kirby, it hasn't made much difference. He's in second to last place.
I disagree.
Yes?
Nah.
Kirby, this is your question.
Uh-oh.
Right, here we go.
No Wikipedia.
What song is playing while Vincent visits the art gallery?
I haven't the fuck.
Nope, that's...
I know.
No.
Oh, Robert says he knows.
Robert knows.
It's cool. Chances by Athlete.
Here's the correct answer.
Did you look that up on your notes?
I forgot the artist, but you mentioned it before.
If I had been able to look on Wikipedia, I know that's on Wikipedia because I read it. I just didn't consider that it would be a question. I should have.
Kirby, yeah? It's on the... subtitles as well. It's just like Strauss's Emperor Waltz was the music playing in the TARDIS.
Yeah, or a bit like, you know, when the subtitles come up and say Doctor Who theme.
Reese.
Yes.
Reese. Right. What are Amy's parting words to Vincent?
Oh, parting words.
Yes. When she said goodbye to him, her parting words were
unknown to me, so pass it on.
I think I know.
Go on then, Matthew.
Ooh, I'm not the marrying kind.
Here's the correct answer.
Oh, very
Matthew
good.
Manages to escape without a duck. He does. And that was the last question.
The only one I actually took note of was maybe perhaps lose the beard or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes, but, so I remember that one too.
That wasn't her parting. That was one of the last things she said. Okay, yeah. So the final scores on this week's You Won't Get This One live at Conquer Sturbrus, thank you, Matthew, are in last place, Matthew. Okay. In second to last place, or technically in fourth place, Kirby.
It's not that we're in last place, it's that we're in the cool place.
With 2 points.
Ooh. All right.
In third place,
losing with style.
Yeah. The one who you don't know how many points you would have scored without is notes, Robert, with 6. And if I say in second place with 8 points, Reese, we now know that the winner of this week's edition of the Won't Get This One with 11 points is Mary.
Wow. She's getting overexcited.
She answered more questions than anyone else. Yes, that's how that happened.
Correctly.
Wait, we all answered the same number of questions. It's just she answered correctly.
Oh, correct. Yes. And this is an episode I don't even care for very much.
Well, there you go.
It
will forever be in your heart now that you managed to win a quiz about it.
Yes.
Well, that sort of, if there's any sundry things that we'd like to discuss, sort of brings this edition of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast to a close.
Oh,
anybody else like to say anything?
There is something I do want to mention.
Go on then.
Nicholas Briggs on his official Facebook page mentioned that there will be a major Big Finish announcement coming tomorrow.
Look, Christopher Eccleston is going to play the Doctor in it. I think that's a bit unlikely.
Time will tell, it always does.
So you said it'll be on the Big Finish site?
Yeah, Nick Briggs posted on his his official Facebook that there will be a major Big Finish announcement on their site tomorrow.
Okay.
Ooh, they're not doing any more Doctor Who.
Exciting.
Adam, if that happens, I will never forgive you.
Yes.
Anyway, I'll tell you what, this has been a fantastic episode. I've really enjoyed this. And it's all down to Matthew Gresnell and Kirby Butler Sloan, who I've given a bit of a mention there.
Well,
and Caitlin Black. Well, we've never had so many special guests on the show.
We don't matter, do we, Mary?
What?
We're special guests.
I have a challenge for Mary and Matthew at Chicago TARDIS. They need to do this.
What?
Ooh. Okay. Well, last time we sent in feedback, but that was recorded. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Wi-Fi in the lobby in the hotel is free, so we might be able to actually Skype in November.
Oh, that'd be cool. I don't have a laptop, so you'll have to bring yours, Matthew.
Yeah, I may have to invest in a better mic between now and then as well.
Yeah.
Would that be Mike Yates or is that?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
No. Ooh.
Anyway.
I don't know. Yes. Is it going anywhere?
Fantastic.
And then we'll have to tackle...
oh, God.
He has to die at least once every episode.
Yeah, we'll have to tackle some guests then, too. Huh?
Well, surely that would be...
not literally.
No, I was going to say.
You put your leg out.
Beyond my wildest dreams. What a fantastic show. Thank you so much, Matthew. Thank you, Kirby, for setting all this up. It's been well worth it. Thank you. And all the people happen to be wandering by. And I hope we don't get any letters from people, solicitors or psychiatrists. I mean, Caitlin Blackwood's actually for being sort of... forced into coming on.
Maybe
I'm so glad she was. I'm just overwhelmed with happiness. I don't sound it, I know.
Yeah.
But it is rather late.
Yeah. No, you
don't. No, Adam, you're overwhelmed.
No, it's only 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, but my wiggly line looks a bit funny, so I might have to do this show.
Ew.
Without my
audio. Wiggly line out of this.
Yes, Adam.
I do
that's
hope
a bit
that
personal.
But anyway, thank you, everybody. And thanks, everybody. If you want to write into the show, please do so. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
Please.
And of course, everybody that was at ConCasturberus, join our group. Listen to the show. Stop snoring, magic.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, that was Star. And until next week, when we're recording next week, it has to be Monday because I'm at the Isle of Wight Festival, where I'm sure we'll see some Doctor Who.
And what are we watching?
What are we watching?
What? Yeah.
Doctor
Bon
Who.
Jovi.
The Lodger.
You're watching Bon Jovi,
yeah, of course,
though.
It's
Lodger?
The Lodger.
Oh, dear.
I mean, oh, dear.
The Lodger.
Why, oh, dear?
Not one of my favorites.
Oh, really? Well, you can skip that one, then.
There's one last mention I'd like to say. Mr. Ben Shoveler. I'd like to say I feel very sorry for Ben, who's had to leave his job because they're relocating to a place that Ben doesn't want to move to. So all the best, Ben. I hope you manage to find something else very soon. And if you don't and you're
available... Is that why he's got that for-hire sign?
You come back on the show. Yeah, that's why. But the funny thing was, do you remember all those times I used to mention my iPhone and he used to call me a sheep? Well, he sent me a message. He sent me an audio message saying, if you could hear this, I got this app from my iPhone. And I said, did you say iPhone? He said, yes. So I sent him a message back saying, bah.
Everybody comes round eventually.
Yes.
I'll never come round. I can't afford one.
Same here. I'm with you, Kirby.
Do you know what he said after I said bah?
He said,
not a sheep, I'm a shepherd.
Now, if he comes back on the show, I've heard of the crowded TARDIS, but how about the crowded podcast?
I know, it's awkward, isn't it? But never mind. Yeah. We'll just have to. We can't not have him back if he's available.
We can't get him word in edgeways when he's on, so it should be fine.
No, the innuendo levels. With Reese mastering the art of innuendo so well, I think it's just going to end up getting an explicit
what are
tag.
You saying?
You're a bit smutty, that's basically what I'm saying. In the meantime, thank you for listening to the show. We'll be back next
so
week.
So young, too.
Am I? Thank you very much. We'll be back next
Adam's
week.
Adam's not young.
Thank you. Oh, I'm losing my words. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
Born free. I don't know why I'm even singing this.
Podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.